Our gathering tonight is a gathering in the extras of the Bible teaching. The scripture teaches us never to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, Hebrews 10 at verse 25. And once that assembly is done, then of course the opportunity to continue to grow has been afforded by congregation after congregation leadership throughout the years. And we have found ourselves growing in the topics of study because there's no one time that you can in 1 week discuss every single facet that is found in the pages of the Bible. There are at least 40 different topics that are discussed in the Bible of significant difference. For example, when you take the idea of salvation from sin, it's a wonderful theme, but worship is equally a wonderful theme and very important to God. There is also a Christian living. And that Christian living deals with how we deal with money, how we deal with words, how we deal with manners, how we deal with marriage, and on down the line. And so those are major topics found in the Bible. And we're to follow God's word in teaching of what the Lord has said to us. And as a result of that, that necessitated for congregations a much longer period of time to be involved in that assembly time. Or it was the case that in that assembly time, it was the occasion for us to say the topics had to be discussed. And no telling how many topics would be discussed in one time, in one gathering time, and so forth. And thus it came the opportunity to say what other things could we do. And the decision was made by leadership in congregation after congregation, and we are on down the stream of time from that, to do a Sunday night service and to do a Wednesday evening service and to do special gospel meetings and lecture programs and so forth and so on, which are themselves in addition to the basic assembly that does take place. So scriptural, yes, we are scriptural. Anytime we assemble and anytime we call for a meeting and gathering, when people can come together and study and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. I'm illustrating the idea that there are 40 major topics that are discussed in the Bible, and as they are so differently linked, it'd be impossible for in one particular lesson on a Sunday morning, on a gathering of the assembly time, there would be an impossibility for every one of those topics to be discussed adequately and understandably and beneficially for the benefit of those attending. You move around from one subject to another. And then you have the added difficulty of some not realizing the importance of the assembly. Consequently, they miss that particular service in which that subject of great, great need, greatest need that that individual may have, is missed. And the misunderstanding is continued on in that person's life, or the lack of understanding altogether, it continued on in that person's life because they've not become acquainted with what the Lord has actually said on the given subject, the given topic of which they are in great need. And so the opportunity and hope is that somewhere along the way there will be a great love for growth. And in that love for growth, taking advantage of other occasions where meetings are conducted and teaching is done. And congregation after congregation has begun to grow that way and inviting others to come to service. There are people who go to a particular assembly time and they are off in an evening time and at other times of the week, and inviting them to come and be with us on a Sunday night or another occasion of gospel meeting or like is sometimes answered by those friends. And as a result, they learn something that they did not learn. In the earlier generation of time, there were a lot of people that had a great appreciation for the Bible. And they read the Bible text often in their homes, and they appreciated what they understood God to say. In the process of their lives, when they heard something completely different or foreign to what they believed and practiced before, they would often go home, and I've used this expression, Ethel, get my Bible down. And they would read what the preacher had noted. They would read the verses that had been cited. They would check one another's memory of what had been said and what verses were used to substantiate what was said. And as a result, there are many who read themselves out of falsehoods, out of personal religions and personal vanities, and into the knowledge of the gospel, into the church of the Lord. They came to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ because they studied themselves into that and have made some of the strongest members of the church that I've ever met. In congregation after congregation, these people are found. Now, they're not the many. The many in the congregations are those that are reared by congregational members, and they're converted as a result of that, baptized into Christ as a result of that, and sometimes miss the importance of this lesson studied tonight, and that is the idea of our Christian evidence and the worship of God. Worship of the Lord is an important matter, and some just see it as going to church. Some families rear their children with a very strong and very harsh kind of a discipline. And they demand that you put your feet under my table, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do it when I say and as I say. And church is not outside the pale of that idea. The command system is being so used, it becomes that worship has become a job, a chore, a something to be loathed, something to be unappreciated, something to be avoided. If I can get old enough and big enough and get away from home, then I'll get away from this call, church and worship. The idea of it is so terribly foreign to what the Lord said in regard to what worship is all about and what worship should be in the places of the Lord's word and the Lord's way. When we go to the page of the Bible and we see where God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth in John 4, verse 24, we fail to read maybe the context of it in which in John 4, 23 it says, true worshipers worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is a personal component, the spirit of the individual, as well as the practice according to God's expectations, the truth of righteousness. Now, the truth in regard to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11 was not being honored by the brethren of Corinth. They were misusing the Lord's Supper. In essence, they had a personal meal that they were pulling together. At the same time, it seems, certainly with the same emphasis of the Lord's Supper. Consequently, they judged that meal on the basis of their personal enjoyments and personal feelings. They did not enter into the spirit of it, the worship of the Lord in that way. They were enjoying the fact that there was a bounty there, the text tells us in 1 Corinthians 11. And the fact that others did not have and did not bring with them, it appears that they were more or less criticizing them, casting off on them, making light of what they had tried to do and not do. The fact of the matter was, all of this activity was an outward thing. It was outwardly that they were tasting the food. It was outwardly that they were making mockery of some. It was outwardly that they were enjoying what they had brought and what they had and wanted people to see what they had really done. And as a result of that, instead of worshiping the Lord, they were worshiping really themselves. And that's exactly what the apostle of inspiration says. Shall I praise you in this? He says, I praise you not in this. The reason he goes on to explain to them. He says, you've come together not for the Lord's supper, but for your own supper. Instead of worshiping the Lord, instead of bowing before him, we'll go back to Genesis and the account of Abraham and the son Isaac and going up the mountainside and the statement that he made to the servants who were there with them at that occasion, the lad and I'll go yonder to worship and return to you. Shows us that worship is not the day-to-day activities of getting ready for the trip, getting things together to go on the trip, arriving at the place where there's going to be worship done, nor having others around us to go with us. Worship is the bowing before our God. In our hearts, that's done some by the songs that are sung. David will appeal to that factor when he appeals in many of the Psalms Psalm 42, particularly for my interest tonight, and Psalm 55, and Psalms 125. David will appeal to the fact that in his heart of hearts, his innermost thoughts and being, he salutes, praises, adores God as he bows before him with prayers, with salutations, with requests, with beggings, with pleadings, with joy. I love the fact that you, my Father, listen to me. Hear me when I call.